Well, well, well. We are down to the final four. The men's, it's going to be interesting, but the ladies are taking over. Let's get to it. Lights out. Ladies and gentlemen, we are down to the final four. On the men's side and on the women's side, the Elite Eight Sweet 16 was off the chain over the weekend. Oh my gosh. Monday night. What can you say about Monday night on the women's side? I'm going to recap it all because we're down to eight teams in college basketball. That's all there is to it. So thank you for joining me on this Wednesday afternoon slash evening, depending on how you feel about it. James Smith, thank you for joining me today. Appreciate you joining me today, but we're going to get into it because, man, this weekend was awesome. This entire tournament on the men's and women's side was awesome. The women lived up to the hype that was driven around them. The men doing what the men do. Hey, we might not enjoy the season because everybody was getting beat by everybody. But if we're gonna be honest, hey, the men tournament, they've been doing their thing. It's been fun to watch the men do their thing, okay? If we're gonna be completely honest about it. Not better than the women, because the women have taken off. And they have not stopped. Okay. But we're going to get into it. And those of you who are new, like James is, anybody else that's new, I usually like to start my program by with some news and news with Around the Hardwood, March Madness style. All right, to begin our Around the Hardwood segment, Kaylee Harper is out of Tennessee after five season coaching the Lady Vols, in which they couldn't get no further than a Sweet 16 during her tenure. And from what I've been hearing, it's been a mixed reaction, you know, because when you coach a program like Tennessee, especially the Lady Volunteers, Elite Eights, Final Fours, you know, championships, the expectation, she just couldn't get her team past the Sweet 16. That's not Elite Eights. That is not Final Four. That is not national championship games. So it's kind of, you know, yeah, they got to do what they got to do, you know. It's just not working. It's just not working. And I want to see who's going to be next. Could a former volunteer be the next head coach? And that's coaching in Cameron Indoors and, you know, Coach Lawson, just throwing that out there. You know, could they possibly reach out to, you know, maybe a Candace Parker, even though she did sign up for another year to play with the Las Vegas Aces as the reigning defending national champion, or reigning defending back-to-back national champion, should I say. I don't know, just throwing a couple of names out there, you know. And we're gonna see, but you know, 5 years, she got into the champ to the tournament every year. They just couldn't get past the Sweet 16. So that's why she's out of a job, and Tennessee's looking for a new lady basketball coach. Up next, we have Juju Watkins. Stellar season. We're gonna recap what took place in the Elite Eight against UConn, but stellar season, historic season. But yeah, she, yeah, she, yeah. She's a dog. Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see her next year. Because she didn't care nothing about what she did this season. By a simple fact that they got taken out in the Elite Eight by Paige Beckers and the UConn Huskies. That was all she really wanted to talk about. But she still says she learned a lot. She grew a lot this season. She did some great things. She did knowledge, but she's grateful for what she did. But that Elite Eight loss is stinging her. It's probably still stinging her right now as I'm speaking about it. So Juju Watkins, she's coming back. Oh, I'm looking forward to USC, even though I am a USC hater. But I must admit, that girl got it in her. I can't wait to see what she's doing her sophomore year. But Juju, hell of a season. You did a great job, you know. Just to dive into it a little bit more. You know, this is what she had. She finished second in the nation in scoring as a freshman with 26.9. The only reason why she finished second in the nation because there was a girl up in Iowa, probably heard of her, you know, number 22 for Iowa, is leading the nation in points this season. So, I mean, you can kind of figure out why she was second, even though as a freshman, when it comes to scoring the ball like you're supposed to. Nevertheless, hey, it's nothing wrong being second, you're a freshman. She did drop 51 points in the game. I believe that was against Stanford, if I remember correctly. I believe that was against Stanford, and when they shot Stanford, and it was at Stanford, by the way. And I believe that was when they started to make their move up the ladder to conquering the Pac-12 and getting the number one seed in the tournament. But I think it started there when she did to Stanford. Okay. She like I said just a moment ago, helped lead the USC Trojans to their first Pac-12 chip in 10 years. They are the final, matter of fact, the final Pac-12 champions as we know it. Because the Pac-12 is going to be devolved within, okay, we in the month of April, May, in the next 2 months. The Pac-12 won't be the Pac-12 no more. USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington headed to the Big Ten. Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah head to the Big 12. It's only Washington State and Oregon State that's still in the Pac-12 going forward. But she did her thing, and plus, like I said, number one seed, Elite Eight appearance. So Juju did a great thing as a freshman. It just went up against Paige Beckers in the UConn, you know. Like I said, we're going to recap that later on in the show. That'll be the main event, and we're going to end the show with the ladies because they deserve to be the main event of this show. All right, we're going to move on from Juju. We're going to go to the number one team in the land because their center, Camila Cardoso, has declared for the 2024 WNBA draft. A draft that's already stacked with Caitlin Clark going, already stacked with Cameron Brick going from Stanford, you know. So this class is stacked, but it's more – somebody else is going to be in this class, but I'm going to get to in a minute. But shout-out to Camila Cardoso. Now she's still on a roll as she's getting ready to go to Cleveland to battle NC State in the Final Four and all that good stuff. Try to win a championship, but she's dropped her name into the NBA draft. Now let's go to another team inside the SEC, the LSU Tigers, because the LA Times, the reporter who put out their article, around the time the ladies was getting ready to play Iowa – has now apologized after Coach Kim Mulkey ripped the column. Not only that, the Washington Post decided to put out an article on Kim Mulkey around the time the game's about to start. Like, what is up with y'all? Okay, the Washington Post and the LA Times. Y'all couldn't do this ahead of time or after the game, after the tournament, whatever the case may be. Y'all want to do this just before they was getting ready to tip off, so they have to go into the game with this on their mind? Like, that is very... very disrespectful of these news journalist companies that's been around for forever. That's just disrespectful. You should apologize, okay? Because you shouldn't have did that. And the way you wrote the article didn't look good either, okay? You called them the villains. You called them good versus evil. Ain't nothing evil about those Lady Tigers at LSU. You shouldn't even said that. The fact that you said that and the fact that you even put those type of words in your article is very disrespectful. Very disrespectful. So, yeah, you should apologize. Matter of fact, you should write a column
an apology column and posted that in the LA Times. That's what you should do. Since you posted the article in the LA Times before, you should write the column with apologizing to it the way you post to. Disrespectful. Just disrespectful. Right? But let's get to a bigger matter. Angel Reese says no excuses, won't blame re-injured ankle for NCAA exit. A lot of people watch the game. I'm going to give you the numbers when I talk to women's basketball. But some point in the second quarter, I'm going to say 8.5, 8 minute mark, the second quarter. She blocked a shot, twisted her ankle, falling into a cameraman, the same ankle she injured against South Carolina in the SEC championship game. And she didn't look right from there. Nevertheless, what happened? What happened? I'm going to talk more about injuries in depth when I recap what took place on Monday night. But before I do that, and before I close out around the hardwood, she did announce today, literally today, she is going into the WNBA draft. So you already had Camilla Cardoso. You already had Cameron Britt. You already got Caitlin Clark coming in now whenever she's done making her run. Now you add Angel Reese to the mix, okay? Are we going to have more names into the mix? Well, Juju can't do it because she's a freshman. Floyd J. Johnson can't do it because I think she's a sophomore, if I remember correctly. Amaro's a freshman, so she can't do it. Haley Van Lick, we might see, and I got some words for Haley Van Lick, okay? If you have not seen my posts after Monday and you didn't see it yesterday, I got some words from Haley Van Lick. Just know that, okay? I have to talk to Haley Van Lick. Georgia Amon, I know she's in the chess report, but I did see the report saying she is eyeing the WNBA as well. The star player from Oregon State, Star player from Oregon State, she is entering chess report, but she has her eye on potentially going to the WNBA as well. So this draft class for the WNBA is going to be hot and heavy, okay? So this upcoming WNBA season is going to be ridiculous. And a matter of fact, the fact that I'm saying that, and this is Olympic year, and we got Olympic basketball to coming up too. How many of these ladies is going to be part of Team USA? Look, women's basketball is taking over. Just call it what it is. Women's basketball is taking over. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a very beautiful thing. I have no problem with the ladies taking over basketball. I have no problem with it. I am enjoying every single bit of this March Madness that the ladies are giving me, and I'm enjoying the men as well, which is, let me stop here for a round of hardwood. Because we're going to take our first commercial break, and speaking of the men, that's what we're going to add to next. We're going to talk some men's college basketball when we come back, all right?
Boston. I love you, you morons. You kids from the block, New Edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Go yourself again, Jason.
Little right here. Look at the inside of these cakes. Now, when you bite into it, just as I demonstrated while you were talking the beginning of your discussion right there, I could taste the drugs inside of this cake, Sick. I could taste the addiction within the cream filling of this cake right here, to where they not only just with that cake right there, but they made an ice cream out of it. They made an ice cream out of me. A 1 pint Christmas tree cake ice cream. Look at that little just smile up there. Look, she is up to no good on there. Look at that. Look at that smile on there, Sick. She knows that she got you. Got him is what's in her mind right now.
Acknowledge me.
Look at that little smile right there. She's up to no good.
D. Willie in the evening. Thursdays at 11:15 p.m. Eastern. 10:15 p.m. Central, exclusively on Sertoba Media, where the struggle is real to be awesome.
Get Mouser Entertainment with Paramount Plus. Stream new movies such as Mean Girls, Transformers Rise of the Beast, and Good Burger 2 with Paramount Plus. Stream live sports such as the UEFA Champions League, the NFL on CBS, the PGA Tour, and March Madness. Catch hit CBS shows such as Fire Country, Ghost, NCIS, and more. But also catch exclusive originals for Paramount Plus such as Special Ops Lioness, The Family Stallones, and the hit series Halo. The new streaming home of Showtime. Watch Showtime original series and movies when you sign up with Paramount Plus with Showtime. Make it a fun action-packed adventure for the whole family. And create kid-friendly profiles for the little ones. So much to stream with Paramount Plus, with over 45,000 full episodes from BET, CBS, Comedy Central, MTV, Nickelodeon, and more. Paramount Plus plan starts at $5.99, but if you subscribe today, you'll get a free trial. Paramount Plus, Mount of Entertainment.
Join the transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the reformer of hooker whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the bronze car.
Whenever you are in distress, take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color of crayon they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to, I can be the black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, Pacific time zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. Oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out. Shout out to all my brothers that you've seen there, D. Willie, Chris Bass, Wise, you know, and Cole Johnson for all they do to help me build this the way it is and help me continue to build as it's going on. Now let's get back into the madness of the Sweet 16 Elite 8. Let's start with the men. And we know the Sweet 16 was barking and rolling. You had Alabama sneak one by the number one seed, North Carolina being the first number one seed to drop. Okay. But that was in the worst reason, because the rest reason even got more chaotic, because the sixth seed Clemson Tigers took down the second seed at Arizona. So the one and two seed from the West were gone. And then we head to the East region, where UConn did what they did last year to San Diego State and gave them a beat down, in which San Diego State would never forget. And I'm pretty sure at this point in time, San Diego State do not even want to see UConn for the next three seasons, okay? Beat them by 30, all right? And then the interesting matchup that we had in the East region was the 2-3, because it was the Big Ten champion in the Final Four versus the Big 12 champion in the Iowa State Cyclones and the Illinois. They find the line. I took that one home by three. That was the Sweet 16. That was one part. But here's the thing. When UConn beat San Diego State by 30, this is what they did, including that game, going up into the Elite Eight. They won a round game from last year by 24. Then the second round game last year by 15. They won the Sweet 16 game by 23. The Elite Eight game by 28, and then they won the next championship game over San Diego State by 13. They won the semifinal game, which was against Miami, by 13, and then they won the next championship game over San Diego State by 17. Then going into this year, they first round win, 39 points. Second round win, 17 points, and then we just talked about that, and when they beat San Diego State by 30. Every game, no less than 13 points. We're talking two tournaments here. And we ain't even done with UConn yet in that graphic. Then the next day was pretty much Friday. NC State knocked out 2-seed Marquette. Gonzaga tried to fight with Purdue, but they couldn't do it. Duke took down Houston. And then Tennessee won the high scoring battle with Creighton. I mean, we had 2 1-seeds get knocked down in the Sweet 16. Going it down to 2 up in the Elite Eight. And then in the Elite Eight, UConn beats Illinois by 25. And dive into that a little bit more. Alabama squeaked by Clemson in a matchup that I knew was going down to the wire between Tennessee and Purdue. I had Tennessee, took that in because Purdue's Zach Edey was a man of my sports. We'll get into that. And then NC State, the center of the run continues with Duke being knocked out by the Wolfpack. All right. Now let's break these Elite 18. This is Elite 8 games down, shall we? First off is the UConn Huskies. Oh, my goodness. Watching that first half, I was like, finally, there's a team that's giving UConn problems. But the problem was Illinois should have been leading at halftime because they was trying to do – they was playing stupid basketball. I'm just going to say it how I said it on social media. Illinois is playing stupid basketball to me, okay? You're passing a three-point, wide open three-point shot to begin with. You're driving in trying to get the center for UConn to foul, which he doesn't foul, all right? He's blocking your shots. He's altering your shots. You ain't making layups. You ain't doing it. It was stupid basketball by Illinois, but they was only down five. So I figure in the second half, maybe they'll clean some things up and we'll get it going. Y'all see the graphic. It was 23-23 at the 151 mark. 23-23 from that 151 mark to halftime, five over run by UConn. And then the first 7 minutes and 21 seconds of the second half, UConn went on a 25-0 run. So, from the 151 mark of the first half to the 721 mark of the second half, UConn went on a 30-0 run. And before you know it, we went from 23-23 to 23-28 at halftime to 53-23. In a span of 9 minutes of gameplay. I'm going to say it again. In a span of 9 minutes of gameplay, we went from 23-23 to 23-28 at halftime to 23-53. Good gracious. How you let a team go for 30 straight points without you having even tipping me? Without you even making a free throw? A free throw to even break it. 30-0 in a 9 minute span. It is the most absurd thing I have ever watched and ever heard in my life. But I've seen it with old eyes. I can't even deny it. Because I literally seen it. 30-0. And the crazy part is Illinois is a top offensive team. And you got held at 52 points. Cause they rode you from the end of the first half to almost halfway through the second half. They rode you. The reigning, defending, undisputed national champions. Rode the Big Ten champions like a steamroller. Lord have mercy. I have nothing else to say about this game. I don't. Let's move on. Then we get to Clemson, Alabama. Mark Shears was the difference in this game. 23 points, 8-for-18 from the field, 7-for-14 from three. The 3-point shooting for Bama was the difference because they hit twice as many threes as Clemson, as you can see. Clemson hit 8. Alabama hit 16. Alabama gets a 7-point win. They go to the Final Four. That's all you have to know on that one, okay? Let's go on to the next one. Tennessee-Purdue. This was the game of the weekend. For the Knicks. Let me say that again. Game of the weekend. Excuse me. Game of the weekend for the Knicks. And I knew it because I had Tennessee come out of this region because of Dalton Knecht. Dalton Kennett, 37 points, 14 for 31, 6 for 12 from 3-point range. He showed up like I thought he would. But that redemption team in Purdue, man. That redemption team in Purdue. Zach Edey, 40 points. 13 for 21, and he took damn near just as many free throws. He took as many free throws as he took field goals. 16 rebounds, and it was just like Tennessee had no answer for Zach Edey, bro. Dalton Kennett was trying his damnness. I mean, he was trying his damnness to equal what Zach Edey was doing. It just wasn't enough. I mean, 37 points ain't even like to sneeze at, but Zach Edey went for 40 and 15, 16. And Tennessee went 7 for 11 from the free throw line, but Purdue went 21 for 33. And most of them was to Zach Edey, man. And he was making the free throws. They kept following Zach Edey, and Zach Edey kept mugging free throws. What you want me to say? So, yes, along with Tennessee, I'm taking that L because I had Tennessee running the region. But Zach Edey and Purdue Boilermakers, they had other plans. So the redemption story of the Purdue Boilermakers continues to Phoenix now as they win the Midwest region. To be the second one seed to ever lose to a 16 seed, they are on the same path as Virginia. Because remember, when Virginia got blown out, okay, let's put it in context, okay? Virginia got their ass whooped by MBC, or I can't remember the name of the Milwaukee team. They whooped their ass. They beat them by 20, okay? The following year, Virginia came back, and they shut everybody down. Virginia came back and was like, ain't nobody scoring over 60 on us, let alone 70. And you couldn't score. You couldn't score that Virginia team. And they went all the way to win the national championship the following year. Purdue got ousted by the one seed, Fairleigh Dickinson. Ousted them last year. Boy, Purdue couldn't hit any other. Coming into this tournament, seeing the reason that you had, ooh, you got Tennessee as your second seed. Ooh, I don't see the ooh. You got Kentucky in here as your third seed. It's gonna be interesting, but we don't see Purdue getting out of this region. Who got out of the region? Purdue. They outlasted Tennessee. I can't even gripe about it. They outlasted Tennessee. That's what they did. So shout out to Zach Edey and Purdue. Great job. Now you and finish. You in the Final Four. The redemption story has made it to the Final Four. Can they finish it off like Virginia did with a national championship? We shall see. That's three of the four. And then number four, the Cinderella story up in Raleigh, North Carolina, is continuing to chug along because not only does the Wolfpack make it to the Final Four, they beat Duke to get there. They beat Duke, but man, that second half, Duke couldn't do a damn thing about it. DJ, as you can see, I put Go DJ. That's my DJ. Go DJs. NC State DJs went in. DJ Burns Jr., 29 points. DJ Earn, 20 points. That is 49 of the 76 points for NC State. That was 12 points better than the Duke Blue Devils. You heard me correctly. NC State was 12 points better than the Duke Blue Devils. I don't know what to tell you. We are talking about a team in NC State, right? A team that was not even considered to make it. They weren't even a bubble team to make the tournament. They weren't even on the bubble. They was literally out. There was no chance in hell NC State was going to get in. They won 5 games in 5 days of the ACC tournament. They won the ACC tournament. They in the big dance. They get in the big dance. They handle business and they shot the sixth seed. Wasn't BYU. Who was the sixth? Texas Tech. They shot Texas Tech, which I didn't think they would, but they shot Texas Tech, took them out. And they won, obviously, they won over Oakland, who knocked off Kentucky, by the way. Like, come on. And then you got to the, so you get to the Sweet 16. They handled business in the Sweet 16 over Marquette. which I didn't see coming. But Marquette couldn't hit a damn three to save their goddamn season. This is the reason why they home now. And Shaka Smart still trying to find a way to get the team back to the Final Four like he did with VCU. But Marquette not working right now. And then that team, that arch rival team of the Blue Devils of Duke, and you handle business in the second. You dropped 55 points in the second half, NC State, 55. And you just took Duke to the woodshed in the second half and said, hey, y'all got to go. I'm sorry, but we ain't losing. So from being out of the tournament or the Wolfpack to winning 9 straight games to find themselves going to Phoenix for a Final Four. Man. Speaking of which, obviously, the UConn Huskies in the Final Four, they was there last year. I said they're defending champions. Alabama Crimson Tide, this is their first time ever in the Final Four. Purdue, first time in the Final Four in 44 years. 44 years was the last time Purdue was in the Final Four. And then you take away 3 from 41 years since the last time NC State was in the Final Four. So this is your Final Four, man. You got 2-1 seeds, you got a 4 seed in Alabama, and you got an 11 seed in NC State. And then this is how we're going to kick it off. And we're going to kick it off on Saturday. Saturday, 6:09 p.m. on TBS. Round, the first game is NC State, the Cinderella team, versus the Redemption team. It is NC State versus Purdue. DJ Burns Jr. versus Wooden Award winner two times over, Zach Edey. That battle in the inside is going to be a hell of a watch. I want to see, can DJ Burns continue to do what he do against this big fella, Zach Edey, who is the 9 shots, who is blocking shot, and is running his butt up and down the court and making things happen for the Purdue Boilermakers. We know one thing. Is a Cinderella story going to be in the finals or a Redemption team going to be in the finals? Either way, it's going to be a storyline in the finals because we already know. It was a Cinderella story or it's a Redemption story. I can't wait. I want to see who come out of this. And then after we find out is a Redemption or Cinderella, 8:49 down to Phoenix, Arizona. Game 2 of the Final Four, where the reigning, defending national champions, the UConn Huskies, are one step away from being back in the national championship game and proving their dominance all around again. And then here comes a little team from the SEC that's mainly a football school, but this year they're a basketball school because the Alabama Crimson Tide have been doing their thing. That's the 4 seed. You know, you beat North Carolina. You handled that. You had a business there. You did what you need to do after you got ousted by the Florida Gators in the SEC tournament in a dominant fashion, by the way. Even though Florida couldn't even make it to the round of 32. But that's maybe right there. Nate Oates has that team buzzing. Okay? They are playing on all cylinders. If Alabama can shoot like they shot against Clemson, they have a chance. They have a chance. But if they can't shoot the ball from 3 like they did against Clemson, UConn will be right back where they were last year, and that's in the national championship game. As you can see here, the spreads are 8.5 for Purdue, 11.5 for UConn. I don't know. But, hey, this is going to be fun to watch. Repeat champions versus facing the first time ever. And we got a Cinderella team versus a Redemption team. The Final Four, that is going to be great to watch. I don't know about y'all, but this is going to be great to watch. I can't wait till Saturday. Now, I will be flipping down. Now, to be all honest, I will be on both TVs, okay? Because this one TV will be on the Final Four and another TV will be on WrestleMania. So I'll be watching both at the same time. I know a lot of people can't do this. So you have to choose one. If you choose to watch the Final Four, I don't blame you because I just told you. the reigning defending champions trying to go back-to-back against a first-time-ever team? And do you have a redemption team at Purdue? Got to deal with a Cinderella team in NC State. It's going to be a storyline in the next championship game no matter what. We love storylines, right? We thought the man couldn't give us no storyline. Oh, these four teams got some storylines for us. And whoever the two teams that meet on Monday night, it's going to be a storyline regardless. So let's get ready for that one, all right? Now we're going to take our second and final break here. And then when we come back, it is the main event. We're diving into the women's basketball world where they deserve every bit of praise, admiration that's coming their way because they have done a phenomenal job. We'll be back.
Yes, the tradition, the pageantry, the spectacle, the history, the slut. Wait. I gotta rep my brother's stuff right. All my DMV soldiers, stand up! And welcome to the Commander's Gridiron Report. You want your commanders to be repped right? Well, D. Willie is your man. Commander's Gridiron Report. Every Monday at 3.05 p.m. Eastern, 2.05 p.m. Central. Exclusively on the Sertoba Media YouTube channel. Music by J. Cool.
Where my soldiers? Right side, right side. Commanders. Where my soldiers? Left side, left side.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Cowboys Talk.
The Dallas Cowboys got exactly what they deserved. Let me say that one more time, because you know it's true. The Dallas Cowboys got exactly what they deserved.
Dak Prescott is overrated and he shouldn't be paid, okay? And the same thing with Pollard. I mean, Pollard breaking the tackles at that 57-yard touchdown run. I mean, we needed that big time.
33 points in the fourth quarter. Let me say that again. 33 points in the fourth quarter. And that's off of four turnovers committed by the Colts. See, at one point, and the fact that at the end of the third quarter, it was 21-19, and the final score was 54-19. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, that is completely unexpected.
Cowboys Talk is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
Sports fans are gearing up. Would it be for the madness of March? Would it be for the Super Bowl? Or even a little thing called WrestleMania? You can get all that at Fanatics, where they have a wide selection of gear from every league, including the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, the NHL, the NCAA, and the WWE. So go on and show that pride, that passion, that dedication fan that you are by whipping your team, your league, all your favorite players. Fanatics, official license, everything.
Hey, Eagles fan. Join my man, Cool McCain, and a host of others as they break down every single game, every single week, in an objective manner, and also from a fan's perspective as well. Remember, this cast feels just like you. Nobody likes you. And you don't care! Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles Elite Podcast. Every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and other podcast outlets.
And welcome back to Shooting Lifestyle, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, you got a run through the NFC East commercial break because draft season is approaching. We are in the month of April, so later this month it will be the NFL draft. Shout out to the Houston Texans on the big-time trade for Stephon Diggs to add to what was the AFC South champion team last year led by C.J. Stroud at the helm as the quarterback. But, yeah, football season pretty much doesn't end. Those of you who are fans of the United Football League, enjoy that and all that good stuff. So now that we get that out the way, it is time for the main event. I'm just going to show it to you. We're going to dive into what happened with the ladies, man. The ladies stand up and clap, take a bow, whatever it is. You have rocked it this year. It's like you did last year, but you rocked it even better with the expectation of you rocking it, and you have rocked it. All right. So let's go back into the Sweet 16 from Friday. As we look at it, you know, South Carolina, they, you know, speaking of South Carolina did their thing. But as you can see here in the order that I put it in, if I was paying attention, Oregon State took down Notre Dame. It was that game that was going to be a tricky one. The Beavers took down the ACC champions to send them packing, unfortunately. South Carolina, they got a push of a lifetime, and I was happy to watch Indiana push the South Carolina game because of the way that they did, because South Carolina needed a test. They need to be pushed as hard as they could ever been pushed. Indiana gave it to them. South Carolina came on top 79-75. The shocker of the Sweet 16 of the weekend, NC State taking down Stanford. It was one of those where Cameron Britt fouled out, played with foul trouble most of the game, could never catch a rhythm. Stanford couldn't catch a rhythm on the offensive end. And Miss James, Asia James, just unbelievable. I'll talk about her more when we dive in, when we break down the final, the Elite Eight even more, but it's just the Sweet 16. And then NC State, 10-point win over Stanford, who I had coming out of that region, so I got outside on that one. And then you had Gonzaga versus Texas, and Gonzaga was no mess for them, for the Lady Longhorns as they moved on. That was Friday. Then we go to Saturday. Saturday, we saw LSU take care of business in the second half against UCLA, like I thought they would. Colorado, y'all came with a stupid game plan. I'm just going to say, that was a stupid game plan by Colorado. Why is you trying to double Caitlin Clark and not expect her to know who's open? Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? You don't double Caitlin Clark to where she sees the whole court. Every time y'all double her, she knew who was open and she got them to her and they made their shots. That's why you got blown out by 21. You didn't even give her a push or nudge, nothing. And she smacked y'all. So Caitlin Clark advanced to Elite Eight. Juju Watkins and the USC Trojans handled business down early, came back late, take a 4-point win over Baylor, a very stifling Baylor team. And then we had Paige Beckers and Lear Evans handle their business against the Duke Blue Devils, who was coming off that surprising upset, the upset of the tournament when the Blue Devils went to Columbus, Ohio in around the 32 and took down the Ohio State Buckeyes. So that was the Sweet 16 from Friday and Saturday. And then we had the Elite Eight beginning on Sunday. And as you can see here, South Carolina had a business over Oregon State, beating them by 12. NC State, Asia Johnson doing her thing, beat Texas, the number one seed, by 10. Caitlin Clark, I'm just going to say Caitlin Clark, but we all seen it. We all seen it. Caitlin Clark and Iowa, they got their revenge over LSU. And then Paige Beckers. Paige freaking Beckers said, I am back. As he took down Juju Watkins and the USC Trojans. Now let's break it down a little further, all right? Let's start with South Carolina. South Carolina, man. I don't know what else to tell you. They just South Carolina. They just didn't let Oregon State give them any problems, okay? To a point win. And then NC State, the Lady Wolfpack. Asia James, 27 points, 9 for 17 from the field, 7 for 9 from 3-point range. NC State as a team, they shot 45% from the field, 50% from 3, and 76% from the field. We're talking 45, 50, and 75. That will get you a lot of W's, and it got them a 10-point, a double-digit win over the 1 seed of the Region 4 bracket, and that was the Texas Longhorns. So, the Wolfpack. Oh, men and women in the Final Four. All right. But they weren't the only team to have both the men and the women in the Final Four. Before we get there, the game everybody wanted. They wanted a rematch between Iowa and LSU. It was on Monday night. A Monday night matchup that we was looking forward to. Angel Reese and the LSU Tigers trying to run it back. But Caitlin Clark and Iowa wants that elusive crown that she is missing from her college record book. Angel Reese, 17 points, 20 boards, but she was not the same after that second quarter injury when she re-injured her ankle. She ended up following up at the 151 mark of the fourth quarter with Iowa up 12. Flo J. Johnson, she did everything she could, but she struggled from the three-point range. She had 23 points, 10 from 18, not bad. But that 1-for-6 from three, not helping. And then Caitlin Clark, oh my goodness, 41 points on 29 shots. She made 13 of them. 9-for-20 from three-point range. 12 assists, 7 rebounds. Most of the assists came to Kate Martin, who had a career high for her. 21 points from 8 and 16. She only 50% from the field, only 1 3-out-of-5 attempts on the three-point range. Didn't matter because Iowa was able to run away with it with a 7-point win. Don't be fooled by the 7-point victory because Angel Reese fouled out when they was down 12 at the 151 mark. That's when you all knew this game was done. It was over. And Clayton Clark has slayed her demons in the LSU Tigers. What a game. What a showing. And then, got to look at it. 12.3 million viewers of that game. Most watched women's college basketball game on record. Even have ESPN records that we probably can't even fathom right now. And not only that, I want y'all to know this. This is WrestleMania week, okay? Today is Wednesday, all right? Literally, everybody's flooding to Philly as I'm speaking right now for WrestleMania. SmackDown is in Philly. WrestleMania Night 1, Philly. WrestleMania Night 2, Philly. NXT Stand and Deliver, Philly. Monday Night Raw next week, Philly. Hall of Fame, Philly. WWE Worlds, Philly. Everything that is WWE is centered in Philly. This is WrestleMania week. This past Monday night, the same night as these ladies played, Monday Night Raw was in Brooklyn. The go-home show for WrestleMania going up against LSU and Iowa. And these ladies were able to pull 12.3 million viewers for this game. I want y'all to understand the magnitude of that. We're talking one of the most important Monday Night Raws in WWE, which is the Raw before WrestleMania and the Raw after WrestleMania, but we focused on the Raw before WrestleMania. The Raw before WrestleMania went head-to-head with LSU and Iowa, and these ladies were able to get 12.3 viewers to watch their game. The magnitude of that cannot be understated. I am happy for these ladies, even though I watch both at the same time. I'm just going to be honest. Because it's WrestleMania week. If y'all know me, y'all know I love my wrestling. Shout out to Monarchs of Wrestling, by the way. Shameless plug. Saturday, 4 p.m. Sunday, 4 p.m. And after the main event of WrestleMania Night 2, catch us all three times. But, man. Ladies did a phenomenal job. I am so happy for Angel Reese, for LSU, for Caitlin Clark, and Iowa. I'm so happy for all of them. So I just wanted to say that, all right? Now that I got that out of the way, we had two more games. We still had two more games. We had one more game. Paige Beckers versus Juju Watkins. It was something to behold. I had USC. I was working with USC and Juju in this one. Didn't happen. By the way, I was one with LSU over Caitlin Clark. That didn't happen either way. but I'm down three Final Four teams. Obviously, the only one that's left is obviously the best team in the country. Nevertheless, Paige Becker is 28 points, 11 for 23 from the field, 3 for 6 from 3-point range, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Aaliyah Epp was 24 points, 6 boards. Juju and McKenzie Forbes, you know, even though they combined for one more point more than Paige and Aaliyah, Gino or Miyama has done it again. This time, I don't know how. They are literally down 5 players on their team. Literally. They are playing with 8 players. They have it's not an 8-man rotation. They have to play with 8 because that's all they got is 8. And for what Gino, Paige, Aaliyah have done to get this UConn team back into the Final Four, which they haven't been in quite some time, it's remarkable. In a year like this that they're having, and they are not nowhere close to fully healthy. Nowhere close. They only have 8 players. They literally have 5 players on the bench in sweatsuits because they can't play. They're injured. Shout out to Gino. Shout out to Paige. And by the way, Paige is making it known. I am back, okay? I'm back. And she's made it known. So congratulations to those. Like I remember I said, NC State ain't the only team that got 2 teams in the Final Four. Well, we seen this picture before. Oh, UConn men's team in the Final Four. Oh, UConn women's team in the Final Four. Great. Oh, 2004. Oh, UConn men, national champion. UConn women, national champion. Oh, 2014. UConn men, national champions. UConn women, national champions. It is the year 2024, and the men and the ladies are of UConn in the Final Four. So every 10 years, we got to deal with the double features of UConn. This is what this looks like. And the crazy thing is, Gino's been there for all this time. And we went from I don't remember who the first coach was with UConn in 2024. Oh, Jim Calhoun, 2004. Kevin O'Hurley, 2014. Now we got Dan Hurley in 2024. The men's did it with 3 different coaches. Geno's has done it, has been there the whole entire time. Great! Anyway, it is what we got for the Final Four. All 4 of these teams are real deserving of the Final Four. You see, we got 2 1 seeds and we got 2 3 seeds. And it's a 1-3 in both matchups because we're going to kick it off out the gate. The Lady Wolfpack Happy Taz of Deep Thony. The undefeated streak of the South Carolina Gamecocks, who coming in 36-0. Last time it was Caitlin Clark who did it to South Carolina in this very round, knocking off South Carolina in the layup, busting the company. When she dropped 41 in that game, like she did against LSU, send them packing with 1 loss. That's a shame that your only loss is the reason why you can't be a national champion. Don State and South Carolina found themselves back into the Final Four. Now they got NC State. That is 7 p.m. on ESPN. This is on Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Friday, this Friday, 2 days from now. That's game 1. And then at 9 p.m., game 2. It is Paige Buckets Becker versus the unstoppable Steph Curry-like Caitlin Clark. It is UConn, it is Iowa, it is Gino versus Lisa. It is going to be a show Friday night. It's going to be a show. Now, I can't wait to watch that game. Because before Caitlin Clark became a superstar, Paige Becker was on her way. She came in as a freshman. National Player of the Year as a freshman at UConn, Paige Becker. This girl is Paige Buckets. She ain't Paige Becker. She's Paige Buckets out here. Injury. Significant injury the following year. But the ACL was last year. We didn't hear from Paige because we couldn't. Caitlin Clark took that mantle and has stormed off with it. But Paige said, oh, no, you don't. Oh, you're not leaving me in the dust. I'm right here. I'm back. So it's gonna be a showdown. And it's gonna be even more lovely when Paige and Clayton go head to head. Literally go head to head. I am going to enjoy seeing that. Who wanted more? Paige Beggars or Caitlin Clark? It's gonna be on the five. Only one can go to the national championship. Only one of them. But hey, like I said, the ladies have been killing it. The ladies have been balling. I am thrilled for the ladies, all right? But that's all I got for you on today, man. Thank y'all for tuning in on this a little later edition show for Shooting Lights. So usually I'll be up and running by around 2 or 3 o'clock, but I wanted to wait a while to get myself together. But like I said, college basketball has been phenomenal. It has lived up to the billing of March Madness, the men and the women, especially the women. I'm giving the dudes their credit, too, because they have been phenomenal. Alabama, NC State, UConn, and Purdue. Then on the ladies, of course, South Carolina, NC State, Caitlin Clark, and Iowa, Pace Beggars, and UConn. It's going to be a fabulous, fabulous weekend to watch the Final Four, the national championships, right alongside WrestleMania. So y'all have no word to complain. We're gonna crown some champions this weekend, okay? No matter if it's basketball or the wrestling, champions gonna be crowned. Storylines gonna be cemented. Legacies will be cemented, you know? Stars will be solidified. Legends will be solidified when this weekend is over through Monday, all right? So thank y'all for tuning in. Thank y'all for chilling with me today. Until next time. This is the Playmaker signing off for another edition of Shooting Lights Out. Deuces.
You've done great, but you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your campaign.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud. That's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting Lights Out.